player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron, from South Bend to Arrowhead, from football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program.
Still the best open we've ever done.
I love it.
He's great.
You know,
so
what?
Accurate.
So many memories brought back coming out here today. I used to live right down 7 Highway over by Lake Lotawanna. And driving from the stadium over here, man, it's so cool to be back here in Blue Springs and Lee Summit in this area. A lot of great people, a lot of great fans, great restaurant.
Absolutely.
Here. This place is awesome.
17 years and they're the baby.
Yeah, and I remember when they're up in Parkville.
They are still in Parkville.
Oh, yeah.
And, yes, they're Parkville, Liberty. You know, it's absolutely an iconic location. Three locations.
Hey, you know what? I always say you got to find a good contractor, a good mechanic, and a good Mexican restaurant.
and you did it.
Yep, you do it.
At least the Mexican
restaurant.
You
don't want to really mess with bad mechanics, bad contractors, and you certainly don't want to eat bad Mexican food.
No, no.
This is great. So if you guys are looking for a great Mexican restaurant, this is it.
Yeah, the people are great. The food is fantastic. I had the chicken fajita taco salad. So good. Chicken, such
you just
so
want
flavorful.
To let everybody know you had a salad.
I did.
Just
well,
say it.
Trying to be a lesser man, Tim.
All right.
I'm trying to embrace my inner Tim Grunhard. Become a shrinking man in my 50s.
It's a lot of sodium in there, so make sure you drink some water.
Was that right?
Flush it out, because that'll
I
retain
like
your water.
I like sodium.
Put a little extra sodium on that taco, will you, please?
Yes. I would if I wouldn't get yelled at by my kids.
Yeah, a little MSG. Put a little more MSG on that General Chow's chicken.
I put salt on something. What did we have last night? We had just me and my oldest daughter, and I was put a little salt on. She's like, Dad, are you putting salt on that?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I am.
And Sarah gets so mad at me because it's not salt for me. It's hot sauce.
Oh.
She cooks. She's cooking a chicken piccata tonight.
Okay.
And I'll put hot sauce on it. She's like, why? You know, I spend hours.
Well, who put hot sauce on frosted flakes, Tim? That's just weird.
Oh, wait a second. Is that God? Who's talking?
It's not God.
Who's talking?
That's me.
Oh, is that Adam?
Yep.
Adam, nobody. Adam, you meant to be seen, not heard. Remember that. No, I do not put. I do not put. Yeah, that's right. You can't see Adam.
I don't know if I'm meant to be heard. I'm certainly not meant to be seen.
But yeah, so I feel your pain. You know, people always say, at least taste it before you put salt on it, or at least taste it before you put hot sauce on it.
If it's good, it'll be better.
I know people who are that way.
I love hot sauce, too.
They're like, whatever it is, it's not going to be hot enough for me. Bang.
Time of year.
Shots of the hot sauce.
That's right.
I'm obviously battling my voice, and my daughter's like, you know, it's not good for your voice. I'm like, you know what else isn't? Like, kids driving you bad, crap crazy either.
Yeah,
that's not good either.
Having conversations with you about my voice.
The problem is they get smarter than you eventually.
Oh, she is. Oh, yeah, my God. That happened years ago with my kids.
The oldest one flew past him in 2012.
Yeah, you got great kids. Awesome kids. And you know what?
The worst part is they know it.
Well,
like, Dad.
Well, you don't want them to think that they suck.
Well, no, I know, but they know they're smarter than me.
Yeah, that's the worst part as far as
they have everything.
Their interactions.
Well, actually, Dad, you know, they're giving me like, you know, because we're read up on nothing. All we do is try to pay the bills and get to the next weekend.
Now you know how it feels to be on a radio show with you.
You know what I had? You know,
why are you just glossing over that?
Well, no, I'm not, because I was gonna add to it. You want to know how I know it's bad?
Why?
Because my daughter actually looked at Villanova.
Wow. V for Villanova. It's a great school.
I hate it.
Why?
Because we competed with them.
You know what? That's the theory that when you, and you probably went through this too when you had kids, and you're going through the names, and there's a name that everybody likes, and then you're like, you know what? I knew this jackass back in grade school.
Yes,
by that
his
name
was Frank Bull, and he went to Villanova, and so I don't want her going there.
Am I right, though? I mean, you probably went through this. You're like, you know, say, Ed. Oh, there was this kid I went to school with named Ed, and his nose was running all the time, and oh, I can't name my kid after that kid.
Yeah.
So naming kids is not easy.
No. No.
And picking a college isn't easy, especially because, you know, kind of the Big East for you. A lot of great schools out there, Syracuse and Villanova, big rivals in basketball back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're getting it.
You didn't go to Georgetown.
Ooh.
that would have been like.
No, you
was there a no trade clause?
St. John's.
No, there's only one school she can't go to.
What's that?
UConn.
Yeah, there you go. There's one of them.
No, none of them are going to UConn. Well, no, literally anywhere else.
Villanova gives really good academic scholarships, too.
So,
she's going to be good.
Now you're speaking my language, Tim.
She does. Yes.
Tell me more.
Well, CJ got a great scholarship there, and he guessed where he wanted to go. Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Dad, you'll pay for it.
Which cost me
$100,000.
Did one of your daughters end up at Villanova?
No.
CJ looked at it. Okay.
SLU. Yeah, CJ went there, loved it. Great place. We loved it. And they were giving him pretty good academic money, and he said, nah, I think I'll go to Notre Dame. How much money are you getting from there? Nothing. Okay, great. Story of my life, sir. And story of my life.
Yeah, no help at all.
Okay, there you go. Tim Grunhardt is with us. We're at Rancho Grande. Timmy's, of course, brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Happy hour. They got a great one, 29-degree man-sized draft beers. Go by and see them. TVs everywhere. Great spot to watch some NBA playoffs. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. We're broadcasting live at Rancho Grande. Great spot for all your Cinco de Mayo festivities. You can come by and celebrate right now. Now until 6 o'clock, $1 off on all the Corona beers. Start guzzling, Tim.
Yeah, I'm done with those days.
Corona premieres. You can grab one if you're watching the waistline. Less calories, less carbs. Grab them right now. They'll have great specials all day on Cinco de Mayo on Sunday, plus live music at all three ranchos. Timmy, your overall thought, the draft. What'd they get done?
Well, I talked to some people. I actually did some homework.
It's a miracle.
You appreciate that?
It's a miracle.
I actually did some homework and talked to a couple people that were in the draft room for the 3 days, and their comment was, and it was very distinct, it was very clear, it was very concise. We couldn't have done much better in this draft. The guys that we had ranked on the board in certain spots fell right into place, and said it's very unusual to basically have the guys that you wanted. Now, listen. You know, it's not always perfect, and, you know, the draft is not a perfect science, and we're not saying that all these guys are going to pan out. But the guys that they got fit into a couple different categories, according to them. Athleticism. The next one was the system. And then also, you know, being system guys, and also guys that were smart football players and loved to play the game. That's what they were looking for in this draft, and that's what they got. You know, if you want to talk about a grade, I'd give about a B+. But I think a B+ is pretty good when you're picking 32, and you're picking at the end of rounds. So a pretty good draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. They got some speed. They got what they wanted. They wanted a wide receiver. They wanted a tackle. They needed, you know, some interior
guys. Well, that's where
they kind of got what they wanted.
Don't you think they're just blowing smoke up your rear end a little?
You know what? Usually the guys that I was talking to don't do that. I mean, they were really and truly excited about the idea of having these guys come in because of just their ballers. They went out and they wanted to find guys who love to play the game, and guys are going to come in here. They're going to work hard. They were smart guys and very athletic. And if you look at throughout the list of all the guys, most of the guys are very athletic or smart or guys that will fit into this system pretty well. Was it a perfect draft, Sren? No. It wasn't perfect, but, you know, you're not going to ever have a perfect draft.
Right, right. And I get that. You know, it's just when you every year they seem to we say, here are their two biggest needs, and they seem to be picks one and two.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Just don't tell me we draft on best available.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I will tell you that number two, Kingsley, and I'm still not going to work on his line.
Come on.
I'll work on his
line. Come
last
on, let's
name.
Hear it.
All right, let's see if I can get it. Salamanatia?
Nope.
There's no L.
Suma?
Nope.
All
right, what is it?
Break it into three things.
All right.
Sua.
Sua.
Mata.
Mata.
Ia.
Suta Mata Ia.
No.
No T. Sua.
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 Mata.
Mata. Mata. Ia.
Yeah.
Sua. Okay. Mata.
Sua. Mata. Ia.
We're just kidding. It's actually Grunhard. I don't even know how, really.
It's pronounced Okoye.
Okoye.
Yeah.
I probably would have screwed that up if I was doing radio when he was drafted. But he was a guy that they talked about. You know, when a guy said, listen, that was a guy they talked about to draft in the first round. So they were really pleased to get that kid when they did in the second round. So, you know, if you just go through the draft, Xavier Worthy, speed, we could talk about all the logistics of it if you'd like. But, and then you go in the second pick, you got Kingsley. And I'm not even going to try his name. I'm still working.
Sua.
Sua.
Mata.
Mata.
Ia.
Sua Mata Ia.
See, you already got it figured out.
You're there.
Position of need, very athletic. The arrow is certainly pointing up on him. The tight end from
TCU,
Jared Wiley. Really a nice surprise. They didn't expect him to be there. You know, we could talk about the logistics of him also when we get to it. But, you know, Jared, Jalen Hicks, you know, the kid from Penn State, Hunter Norzad. Is that how you say it?
Norzad.
Norzad. The new Dave Zott. The new Dave Zott.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you think?
That, you know,
that'd be nice.
I wonder if he's the new Creed Humphrey.
Well, he's an interior guy. And then the kid they got from Holy Cross, I got a lot of information on him. One of the kids I coached, Jack Burns, from KCK, was at Bishop Miege, went to school with him in Holy Cross and loved him. Great kid. A lot of great information on him, too. So, pretty good draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, I give them a B+. I think that this draft, they address their needs, and we could talk about the logistics of the guys, but, you know, all these guys have a role that they could fill for this team, and, you know, there's not a lot of need when you win 3 of 5 Super Bowls. So when you bring these guys in, I think you got some good depth, and you got some guys that come in and play special teams. You got some smart guys who can play football and understand the system.
To your point about the athleticism, I wished I was kind of going through my mentions trying to find the site, but it was one that I remember when I started seeing these things being sent. Was a site that was followed by a lot of people in the business. It's a reputable site, and they measure all the draft picks specifically and only on an athleticism score. And there are 4 different categories, and then they have a composite score, and they have tiers. 6 of the 7 draft picks the Chiefs had were in that top tier. There were, I can't remember what the number was, but that was clearly a high priority for them to get. Now, you wouldn't want athleticism, but there are other things. But whether it was intentional or not, the 6 of the 7 guys they got were, by this measurement, this metric, top tier athletically.
Yeah, pretty good character guys, too.
So if he's a great athlete, mm-hmm. why is he there at the end of round 2? What's he got to work on?
Well, I mean, which one? What are you talking about?
Sua Mata Ia.
Sua Mata Ia?
Mata Ia.
You know, I think he's a little raw. I think...
Why? Why would you be raw having played in a passing offense? I'm not saying you're wrong.
No.
I'm just saying, like, so what has Andy Heck got to work on?
I think, and I've only watched a little bit of his film, about as much as everybody else. It's not like I've been, you know, going and watching BYU games.
Got the projector up in the basement.
Yeah. What I've seen and what I've heard is kind of a waste bed.
Bed sheet hanging down. Projecting.
Yeah. Sarah would love that. Yeah.
Sarah
would absolutely love having that in our basement.
Tim, where are all of our sheets?
Yeah, the ones without the yellow stains? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Hello.
Whoa.
Hey, but I will, so a little bit of a waistbender, which means it's just a little bit top heavy. He's a leaner.
He leans
a little bit.
He doesn't
bit.
Keep his feet under him. So that mm-hmm. takes away some of the athleticism, right?
Right. But because he is such a good athlete, he got away with it in college. So one of the things he's going to have to work on, you're not going to get away with those little things like that in the NFL against the quality defensive end and edge rushers that you have. So that's what Andy Heck is going to have to work on with this kid. Andy, just listen, I'm sure he wouldn't mind. He said, Tim, I'm really fired up about these guys. Huge upside with Kingsley. He's a great kid. The other two guys are smart and love to play the game. I can't wait to coach him. So, you know, and obviously the huge upside, I think that's the point. I don't think that he's a finished product. I think the arrow is certainly pointing up on him. And I think that he'll compete for a job in camp. Whether he can beat out Wandy Morris or not, I don't know. But the great thing about it is, Saran, the other thing is he played right tackle too. And for people always say, well, if you play left tackle, you play right tackle. Or you play right tackle, you play left tackle. It's not exactly that easy. So, you know, here's a guy that could be a swing guy. And you know there's always injuries in the NFL. If you got a guy that could play both left tackle and right tackle with equal enthusiasm,
yeah.
Then guess what? You know, you...
That was an enthusiastic way of saying
it. Was. Yeah. The comparison here is if you can play left, you can play right. If you can play right, you might be able to play left.
Right.
That it's much easier to go from one side, left to right.
And Donovan Smith is gone. He's gone. He's going to sign somewhere. I don't know where. I don't think it's me with the Chiefs. So they're going to have some young guys playing on that offensive line, especially at that left tackle position. I think the inside guys are solid. I think, you know, right tackle, he's got to play better. Too many penalties last year. Too many times was struggling, you know. And
he played better down the stretch.
You're absolutely right. He did. And I think Donovan Smith was a nice filler. I mean, listen, like you said the other day, I think I was kind of, you know, he said, hey, they just won the Super Bowl. So he must have been okay.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. He must be okay, but I don't think he's going to be back. So left tackle position is a concern, and it's going to be a big camp issue for the Kansas City Chiefs, who's going to play that position.
I'm sorry to belabor the point, but on Mattia, because I agree, athleticism, if you're a great athlete, you should be a ready-made left tackle, right?
Yeah.
Arm length is not short, but it's not long. Mm-hmm. But that means he's got to stay in front of guys, right? Right.
Absolutely.
It's going to be important for him to mirror. It's going to be important for him to have the footwork. Mm-hmm. So how do you work on that?
Yeah, he's got good footwork. He does have good footwork. He just gets himself in trouble. And a lot of times it's funny because coaching in college, and listen, I didn't coach in the NFL, but I coached in NFL Europe. There's sometimes even in college, and I see this in high school all the time. When you have a bigger guy, like let's say we had a couple guys who were 6'5", 6'6", that played tackle for us this year. I mean, they're great kids. But they're playing against guys who were 5'11", and, you know, 6'. So it's hard to get that target lined up right. So what do? You're reaching because, you know, that's the only way you can get down there a lot of times. I mean, when you're a foot taller basically than the guy you're going against, you're going to have some issues. So I think at times, even in college, you're going against guys that maybe the surface area of the punch or maybe some of the stuff that they do lends to you being a little top heavy to try to get out on guys and get your hands on guys quicker. And I think you get in a little bit of a bad habit. In the NFL, most of the defensive ends, these are men you're playing against. Listen, there's times in college you're playing against 19, 20, 21-year-old boys. They're all men. These are grown-ass men that are playing at the edge position and at defensive end. So there's, you know, a bigger target range. The good news is that, they're going to present themselves a little bit more because they're bigger. The bad news is they're a lot faster than those guys who are playing in college, so you better be on your A game in order to block those guys. So, to answer your question, I think a lot of times you can get away with things in college with leaning and reaching and not bringing your feet, and your technique is just a little bit off. You can get away with that in college and still have success. You can't do that in the NFL. That's why, you know, he's a little bit raw. He's got a huge upside, but he's not a finished product. And you know what? That's not a bad thing either. When you're that athletic, and by the way, his pedigree is unbelievable. I mean, he's got family members from cousins to brothers to uncles to aunts, everybody else who's played the damn NFL. So the pedigree is there. He's been, you know, he understands, and he it's in him to be a good football player. So I'm excited about the kid. And, you know, listen, Andy Reid wanted this kid. Obviously, a BYU kid. He's got a lot of connections at BYU. I'm sure they wouldn't steer him wrong. You know, played there, has a great relationship with the coaching staff there. So they must have said, hey, listen, this kid is good. He's a little raw. He's got some technique stuff he's going to have to work on. But I'm telling you, when this kid's a finished product and when he's ready to roll, he could be one of the better ones.
And the guys he faces in the NFL, not only do they have better first moves than the guys he played in college, they have oftentimes second moves that the guys in college didn't even have one. So I guess you hope that the athleticism, until he can become more technically sound, the athleticism will help him in that regard. Is that,
yeah, absolutely.
So
just kind of going through my notes on a position need for the Chiefs. Well, they compete for a position in camp. Slated to be left tackle, but can play both right and left. The key to me is he could be a swing guy early. He's very athletic. He's a big man.
Swing guy early? Who do you have playing left tackle then?
Well, I mean, I just think that, you know, right now, Wandy Morris will probably have the leg up on him for experience and just, you know, having a little bit of understanding of what it takes to play in the NFL. So I think that he probably will get the nod first. But, you know, Kingsley can go in there and win the position. But that's why I think there's going to be a battle for that spot. And then lastly, you know, the Chiefs, you know, they were looking at this kid. It was a discussion early about, hey, listen, do we take this kid in the first round? And they liked him that much, but they figured, hey, listen, let's go get Xavier Worthy, and we'll see if this kid falls down a little bit, because he was ranked about, what, 6 or 7 at tackle?
Yeah. I mean, he was a guy. You saw many mock drafts that had him in the bottom of the first round.
Right, right. So
people wouldn't have fallen out of their chair if he'd gone 32.
But I will tell you, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, when bringing in Kingsley, what's his name again?
Sua Mataia.
Kingsley Sua Mataia. When you bring him in, Lucas Niang, bye-bye.
Okay.
He's the odd man out. So we can go through the draft picks, and I kind of said, oh, who's the odd man out? Interesting, like at the tight end position, we'll talk about who the odd man out is going to be there.
Travis Kelce.
Sorry,
buddy.
At the wide receiver position.
Enjoy that contract, bud.
Wide receiver position, there's going to be an odd man out, too. We can get to that after the break if you want.
All right, we'll talk about that with Tim Grenard. He's already making cuts.
Cutting people.
Cutting the roster months in advance. Tim Grenard's already got the answers for you, former Chief Hall of Famer. Well, current Chiefs Hall of Famer, former Chief, our life coach, our football insider.
And now the Turk.
Our Mexican food expert.
Mexican food expert. Anti-salt. Apparently anti-the sunscreen, too.
Tell you where to find a good mechanic.
Yeah, there you go. He's got it all. Back in his launching days. Blue Springs.
Right.
We're at Rancho Grande. Come on by and say hello. Timmy's here. We got Sam McDowell coming up later. We got great, great, great Mexican food. Plus a buck off all the bottles of Corona. Don't forget, they'll have specials all day long on Cinco de Mayo at a great Mexican restaurant. Iconic location. Rancho Grande. All three locations. You can get a buck off the Coronas now until 6 o'clock. Parkville, Liberty, and right here in Blue Springs.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Al Toon, 61 today. Only two players who went to Wisconsin have more career NFL receiving yards. I asked for either one.
From Wisconsin?
Then one. Al Toon.
Yep, one, I believe.
Wisconsin.
Briefly plied his trade here.
Hang on. Sam Madison, or not Matt.
Sam Madison.
Chris Chambers.
Chris Chambers is number one. At 76-48.
I don't know that he ever played for the Chiefs, but he definitely signed with the Chiefs. Did he play?
He was here in 2009 and 2010. He had a total of 58 catches for 821 yards and 5 TDs. Wasn't bad.
Yeah.
In the course of 2 years.
That was part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Process. A right 53, Seren.
And then the other one, huh?
Hall of Famer. Went to Wisconsin and Michigan.
Oh,
he was a standout at both a long time ago.
Hockey player?
No, Amici?
Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch.
Oh, Crazy Legs.
Yeah, you know him?
He was a star at
You know what? I had my nickname was Crazy Legs back in the day, too.
Really?
Yeah, they just stopped calling me that. I don't know why. But it was better than White Shoes.
Crazy.
Was it?
Or, you know, basketball players, though, back in the 80s, that great one, the Iceman Gervin. They had a lot of great nicknames. So, look, they don't have nicknames like that anymore.
Ant-Man.
Well, and then you had Mighty Mouse, which was...
That was a football
McMillan.
One. It's one of your guys.
And Spider-Man.
Yeah. Andre. Spider-Man was at the draft. When are they going to have you announce a draft pick?
don't get into that.
When? What's it take to get you at, a draft? Announcing things.
I don't know.
Andre Rison was announcing Falcons picks.
Falcons. Jamal Charles did ours.
Yeah.
Jamal's a great guy.
It is the program here on Sports Radio, 810 WHB. Just gave away Good Sense, goodsensesubs.com. Put your order in. Don't forget, WHBG5.
Put your order
Save
here.
$5, yes. And you come right here to Rancho Grande. Great Mexican food right now. You can get it and save a buck on the Corona bottles till 6 o'clock at all three ranchos. They've got all kinds of specials. Live music going on for Cinco de Mayo and Puffy Tacos.
Yeah.
Going in, Curtis, right now.
Puffy Tacos, that's the start.
Curtis, the ask me
days or later.
Curtis asked me to move over in the chair a little bit, and I kind of ignored him. And the people are coming in, and they're knocking me out of the way. They want to get their puffy taco.
The puffy taco is great.
I mean, I was just getting nailed. Excuse me, sir. I need my puffy taco.
It's one of the absolute staples right here at Rancho Grande. Three locations, Parkville, Liberty, and Blue Springs. We're here at the Blue Springs location, basically northeast corner of I-70 and 7 on the outer
easy
road.
To get
a little bit east of 7 on the outer road on the north side.
Yeah, right next to 70. What is it, the hotel that's right next door, the Quality Inn, I think it is. I'm looking at it right now.
You drive past a law office that, has anybody noticed that that place has more windows than it needs? When you go past that place, check that, you're like,
usually law offices don't have any windows.
There's literally more windows. It's just bang, 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 bang. You have more windows than you need.
I don't usually do a window motions on buildings when I drive by.
That's what Curtis thinks. I mean, he's all about analytics.
A lot of windows.
He's all analytics, even with buildings.
Actually, I stopped because I got out earlier. I stopped. I walked out. I just went, too many windows.
Yeah. Did you count them?
And they sued me. It's a law office. They're like, that's it.
That's what they do. All right.
I've already been served papers.
I think it's Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Is that it?
I've already been served papers.
Could be.
Rough Tuesday.
Real quick, the lineup for today for the Royals is out. There is at least one noteworthy addition.
And that noteworthy addition is Salvador Perez is back in the lineup, batting fourth, playing first base.
Wow, okay.
Vinny Pasquantino will DH. Felix Fermin will catch.
Garcia, Witt, Pasquantino, Perez, Massey, Fermin, Melendez, Renfro, Isbell, Cole Reagans on the bump. He again...
hurling the pill.
He again draws a top-shelf opponent. At some point, he's got to get a gimme. Some point.
You know, I was really excited to come out here because of the great food and hanging out with you guys. But really what got me excited is I walked in and a guy was wearing a Cub shirt. And he's related to Tommy Hottaby.
That's right.
The pitching coach. And watched the game last night. Severino took the Mets into the eighth inning with a no-hitter, and the Cubs ended up winning the game 3-1. It was awesome, awesome game. Cubs with 18 wins in the month of April. It's a record for the organization. And everybody's hurt. So the arrow is pointing up for my Chicago Cubs.
Well, there it is. We're excited.
I know you are.
Who are you cutting, Tim?
Who am I cutting?
When last we left you, you said you're going to tell us who's out.
Let's talk about
who's
it.
Out of
let's talk
out.
About Xavier Worthy.
Who's that get rid of?
Kadarius Toney is now gone in my mind.
I'll buy it when I see it.
Yeah. But I just think that he's probably the odd man out. This is a great fit for the Kansas City Chiefs for a lot of reasons. Number one, you got the speed. Number two, he runs good routes. Number three, it was a big-time need for the Chiefs. The Chiefs' offense over the last two or three years, ever since Tyreek Hill. Why do I draw a blank on his name? I don't know why. It's like it's happened to me a bunch.
I don't know. Is it the thousands of car crashes you had?
Probably.
Throughout your 20s?
But Tyreek Hill, since Tyreek Hill has left, you just haven't had that fuel for the offense. And the fuel for this offense is space. Space, space, space. This offense needs space. In order for Travis Kelce to be at his top end, he needs space. In order for Andy Reid to run the things he likes to run, you need space. And with guys like Hollywood Brown, Rashid Rice, and now Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce is going to have a little bit more space. This offense, I believe, is going to even be better with the idea that you can attack at all three levels. It just didn't feel like to me, Serena. You can disagree.
No, I'm with you.
You just couldn't attack down the field with the Chiefs over the last couple of years. You just couldn't do it.
Well, because you'd attack and MVS would drop it.
Yeah, you drop it, and you know guys,
Kadarius Toney can't catch it. MBS couldn't catch it.
Right.
Skymore can't catch it.
And then you reach the bottom, the basement of that progression was the Raider game when the Raiders just went, we're not even going to cover you, Dave.
No.
Because you're not going to get it there. We're pressing the short stuff, and they had no passing game that day.
Such a good point, and I didn't even think about that, but you're exactly right. And I remember thinking to myself, Listen, they can give a rat's ass if we throw the ball down the field. They were coming up. The safeties were flying up. The linebackers were shooting out into the flat. They were saying, you know what, we are not going to let – and it was a great game plan. You can't do that against the Chiefs this year if everything works out the way we hope it does with the personnel they have now.
So keep me six wideouts. Give me your six.
Let's see. I you know, that's funny you brought that up. Cause
Xavier Worthy, Marquise Brown, Rashee Rice.
Me. Okay, well, let me get to my notes.
Trying to help you out.
He has to look at page 8 of his laptop.
I have to, you know.
When we get all
sure.
grown up, we use a computer.
I know. I don't like computers. All right, so I got Worthy, Brown, Rice, Watson, I believe, makes the team, MVS, and how many is that?
MVS is not on the team. That'll be a tough make.
That will be a tough make, so he's not on the team. Worthy, Brown, Rice, Watson.
Watson, those four.
Yep.
And then you got a choice of Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore. Justin Ross.
I have Sky Moore there.
Cornell Powell, Montrell Washington, Jacob Copeland, Anthony Miller, Nico Remigio. He was on the team last year, remember?
Yeah.
He was a camp darling.
I think there'll be a surprise.
Reggie Brown and Shea Smith.
Yeah, Shea Smith.
Or Shy Smith.
Yeah.
S-H-I.
I think you'll have that core of about five, including Moore, and then there'll be a surprise. One of those guys will come up. And I'm not sure who it'll be.
I think Sky Moore's cut.
Do you really?
What sign of progress have we seen?
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you. I mean,
it's his last chance. If he doesn't have a big camp, got to go.
I'm not going to argue with you.
And then it becomes a question of, like, does Anthony Miller have anything?
What do you give that room right now, looking at the roster? Would you give it a B minus? A B?
I would give it better than that.
I gave him a B. Just
because
I mean, if
Rashee
Rice is there playing and not in court.
Well, that's why I couldn't give him anything higher than a B. It's just like, you know, Rashee Rice probably going to be out for four games.
If you've got three guys there who could, in the right situation, have 1,000 yards.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a pretty good start. The top three after that, but Brown, Rice, and if I say Brown, Rice again, I'm going to have to go get some. and Worthy, you've got a pretty nice start.
You really do. And, you know, Watson's consistent. He's a consistent guy. Yeah. Makes some plays.
Well, I think you feel a lot
more
better.
And it's funny you said that because I said more. The pressure's off him this year. I mean, either he sinks or swims. It's, you know what?
Sinks.
They're not asking a lot.
That's not the pressure.
Sinks. Well, no. I mean, what I'm saying
is the pressure.
It doesn't. But the matter of fact is, I mean, they're not expecting a lot from him.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the pressure's off. Just go play. And if it's good enough, it's good enough. If it's not, it's not. I mean, maybe that is pressure.
He's small.
Yeah. Well,
he's really small.
Everybody thought he was going to be the savior a couple years ago.
I have a fundamental objection.
I remember him saying Sky Moore was going to be the next great receiver.
No, I don't remember that happening.
No. I was the guy that was being ridiculed because I'm like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I hope so. Listen, the one thing, compelling thing he had coming out was that he was a tackle breaker.
Yeah.
But that you can't break a tackle if you don't catch the ball first.
Yeah.
And that's, like, to me, that's the blind spot in Brett Veach's analysis or his whole staff's analysis of wideouts. If they can't catch it, the rest is crap. None of the rest of it
is.
Is
that why they call them receivers?
I guess.
They receive the football.
It's a good
instead
theory.
Instead of just track guys. What are we, the Oakland Raiders of the 80s? Remember with Willie Gault and they had, who was the other speedster they had? Remember, they called it the track team.
James Jett.
Yeah.
They had Sam Grady.
Yeah, but there was one.
Grady.
What was
the
one that had
the
unique name?
Ronaldo Nehemiah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Those guys were fast, but they couldn't catch.
Right. Worthy, Brown, Rice on the team. Watson on the team.
Yeah.
I think the question becomes the new kickoff rule.
Right.
How much are wideouts your coverage guys? You know, I don't know. Have you been watching? Is the UFL using that rule? I haven't watched a kickoff in the UFL yet.
I haven't either. I don't even understand the new rule, really. I mean, I know they're like 5 yards away from each other. That's all I know. And they're like, you know, they're kicking it and
can't half, run half, until half, the other guy catches
yeah,
it.
Yeah, half the guys are about like on the 20-yard line when they kick it. I don't know. That'll be an experience for me to watch and see. So,
but my point is, listen, if they're going to be coverage guys, Cornell Powell makes it.
Yeah.
And if Kadarius Toney will run down and tackle people, he'll make it. If
Washington was another guy they used a lot in coverage later in the season,
yeah,
too. So either him or Powell.
But if it becomes that, okay, we don't really need the wideouts as coverage guys, then I think Justin Ross makes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, or defensive backs. I mean, I don't know.
I think you're. I mean, that's what I don't know. Do you need linebackers? Do you need DBs? What do you need?
I know they got a guy named Thor now.
But do you need tight ends? Because you've got you've got a lot of. How many tight ends are going to make it now?
Well, I think you know. If you want to talk about tight ends, you got the Jared Wiley guy.
Does Kelsey make it?
Kelsey makes
okay.
it.
Okay, just want to get you on record.
Yeah, I think it's either Bell or Smith as the odd man out. Depending on who.
Bell's not on the roster.
He's not?
So he's definitely out.
Okay, then Smith is probably going to be that man out.
Now that they couldn't call him, and I don't know if he's signed. Is Blake Bell signed anywhere?
I don't think he has.
I don't think he did.
He kind of, you know, he could be in that Donovan Smith, you know, call in case of emergency.
Right.
But Kelsey, Gray, Wiley.
Wiley.
You think he definitely makes it? No way they cut a fourth-round pick?
No, they're not going to cut a fourth-round pick.
And Irv Smith, you think they go with four?
Yeah, I guess.
I kind of do, too. They love playing two and three tight ends.
Yeah,
three
I don't think they draft Wiley where they did if they don't plan on going four, right?
Yeah.
I think you could cut Irv Smith.
Could.
Yeah,
you look at his contract, that's not going to kill you.
According to the Chiefs, it was kind of a surprise that he was there. They were happy to get him at 131. He will be kind of that third tight end. He needs to be a little bit more physical in blocking. He's a big dude, but everything I've read and everything I've watched, he doesn't got it yet. He's not dedicated to being a blocker yet. And you know what? In Andy Reid's office, if you're the third tight end, you better be able to block. So that's one thing.
Isn't that Irv Smith's job?
Well, it's going to have to be one of those guys. I mean, Travis does a good job. He's more of a chicken fighter.
Push and pester.
Yeah, push and pester. We call it chicken fighting.
Okay. Noah Gray.
Noah Gray is Noah Gray.
But Noah Gray is – what Noah Gray has become is why they went and got Jared Wiley, isn't it?
Noah Gray lives –
what he hasn't become.
The shadow of a god. I mean, he lives in that shadow. And until Travis Kelce's gone, he's just going to be that guy that comes in every once in a while when Travis isn't in.
I listen to Eager. Yeah, he's always preaching the gospel of Noah Gray.
Yeah.
28 for 305. Two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Does Wiley take up all that?
I, in a perfect world, if you draft a guy, listen, the day you sign your name, and Mike Webster told me this, the day you sign your name on a contract, they're trying to replace you.
Same thing about when you sign in college.
But I think if Noah Gray had been what they thought he could be, I don't think they drafted
him. I think
Jared
he is
Wiley.
What they thought he would be.
Really?
Do you hope? Yes. When they took Travis.
Hope he could be.
All right, let's take a break. We'll pick up there because I'm giving the break.
Come on,
first
Adam.
It was break.
Come on, Adam.
Then it was break.
He was nice about it.
Then it was break. And now I just got the break. So we'll take a break.
I want to let you guys know that Curtis wolfed down those tacos during that segment.
God.
That is impressive.
It was impressive.
Those were four huge tacos, and he was able to talk and eat tacos at the same time.
The puffy tacos at Rancho Grande.
God bless you, Curtis.
Always a good choice. Cinco de Mayo, Rancho Grande, a great choice. They'll have live music at all three locations, Parkville, Liberty, and Blue Springs, now until 6 o'clock. A buck off on all the Corona bottles, whether it's Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier. You can get it right now at Rancho Grande, all three locations. We're in Blue Springs, northeast corner of 70 and 7. Mighty, mighty Boss Tones.
How's that sound?
Am I right?
You're in the correct genre. This is a ska band. This is actually an East Coast ska band like the Boss Tones, but this is Real Big Fish.
Okay. Yeah. Real Big Fish.
But yes,
sounds like a college marketing
sounds like some,
first.
Sounds like some real
genre.
Creative guys.
Yeah. They have another song that I love. This one's called Sell Out, but my favorite song of theirs, naturally, is called Beer.
Beer?
Yeah, Beer.
They just go, Beer.
The
If I get drunk, then I'll pass out on the floor, baby, and you won't bother me no more.
It is the program giving you words to live by.
Yes.
Adam Dravetta running the operation back there, handling the tunes. Petro Siebold, Grunhard with you. We're at Rancho Grande, northeast corner of I-70 and 7, basically just a little bit east of 7 Highway here on the outer road. If you want a GPS at 501 Northwest Jefferson Street. Jefferson.
Yeah, that, you got to take a really quick
It's a right and a right.
Right and a right.
Very quick right. You're here.
Yeah. But great. The puffy tacos have been consumed, and order number two is in for Curtis now.
But I didn't go puffy tacos.
But you can
go on.
Notice he doesn't even deny it.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to have a couple of puffy tacos, but I'm going shrimp steak and chicken fajitas, just the plate, not the frills.
Oh, that's a
shrimp steak, chicken.
That's good for you.
Combo fajitas.
Yeah, just the meat and the veggies.
That's good for you.
Chasing it down with a glass of hot fat.
Yeah.
Put a little extra salt on it. He's good to go.
A little salt.
Yeah.
There you go, a little hot sauce.
Take it all the way back.
No lies told.
What kind of production? We were talking tight ends.
Yes.
Tim Grunhard's with us. We're here at Rancho. Great spot to celebrate Cinco de Mayo all week long. And we got dollar off Corona bottles till 6 o'clock at all three Ranchos. So I would kind of like to see Kelsey's targets go down. Not a lot, just a little, because I'd like to see somebody emerge as more of a threat, and I'd like to see more two tight end sets. You're not going to carry a fullback. I'm kind of optimistic that Wiley can be an all-around second tight end and maybe take a little bit of the load off Kelsey on the underneath.
I agree with you. I think, listen, use Travis in key situations when you need him, red zone, big play opportunities. But, yeah, you got to take him off the field a little bit more. I mean, he looked a little gimpy at the end of the year. His knee's been a little banged up. He's
ran his fastest in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
which is amazing, but
well,
I mean,
2 weeks.
But yeah, but you want him healthy, so let's use some other guys during the regular season, so he's kicking ass in the postseason.
Can we talk about next time some of the other guys were picked?
Yes,
there's some really good guys who were picked too.
Jaden Hicks.
They were going to take him in the third, but they lost the third and they got him in the fourth. I'm just telling you, it was a good draft for the Chiefs.
Timmy is happy.
I'm happy.
He's ecstatic being back here in Blue Springs.
I am. And I'm going to drive by my house right now, my old house.
Have fun.
See if Copper's out there.
Have fun. We'll
see. Knock on the door.
The old horse.
The old horse.
I know who it was. Timmy Grunhard. We'll talk to Sam McDowell next here at Rancho Grande in Blue Springs.
All right. What player holds the record for points scored in a playoff game without attempting a free throw? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.